The seventh parak continues the daily routine of the Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash, and at this point, after the bringing of the Ketores, as we saw at the end of the prior parak, the service of the Tamid, the Korban Tamid of the morning, is considered complete. Now, having said that, there's still what to do. There are technical things that have to be done. For example, the limbs of the Korban Tamid have yet to be burned. The wine has not been brought as a libation yet. But having said that, the Korban Tamid still is considered to be complete. And accordingly, at this point, the various Kohanim go into the Heichal and prostrate themselves. They bow down just as the various Kohanim did who were involved in the Avodah of the day. Those that were cleaning up the menorah and cleaning up the Mizrach HaPnimi and the ones that were doing the Ketores, they already bowed down. And everyone else is going to bow down at this point as well. And this Mishnah Aleph, is going to start out talking about what the Kohanim did. And in fact, if the Kohen Gadol was around, they showed him kavod by letting him enter the Heichal first and prostrate himself. And only thereafterward, the Memuna would have his opportunity, and thereafterward, the Kohanim. So we're going to see three different rounds. First is going to be the Kohen Gadol goes in and bows, then the Memuna, and then the other Kohanim. Mishnah Aleph says as follows, Bizman Shekohen Gadol Nichnas Lishtachavos, at the time that the Kohen Gadol is around, and he goes in and he enters in order to bow in the Heichal, Shlosha Ochzimbo, to show kavod to the Kohen Gadol. There were three other Kohanim that would hold on to him, would assist him in his bowing. Echad b'yamino, one of them would be on his right side. If we can think about the Shliach Tzibor on Yom Kippur, also Rosh Hashanah, when they bow down and prostrate themselves, have two people, one on the right, one on the left. So Echad b'yamino, v'echad b'smolo. And there was a third one, v'echad ba'avanim tovos. There was a third one that was holding on to the expensive or the nice stones. The Bartonur explains that this is talking about the stones that were on the shoulder straps of the ephod that was worn by the Kohen Gadol. There was a coin that would be holding on to those in back while the coin bowed down. As soon as the coin gadol, he finished up in the heichal, and the memuna would hear the walking of the coin gadol. Actually, he had these bells on his clothing that would be heard. So he heard that the Kohen Gadol was leaving. He be alo es haparoches, that Memuna would lift up the paroches, the curtain, so that the Kohen could leave the ulam. Nichnas vistachav aviyatze, and then the Memuna himself went in, bowed down, and he left. And then third, the nichnasu echav akohanim vistachavu aviyatze, then the rest of the Kohanim would enter into the Heichal. They would bow as well, and then they would exit from the Heichal and ulam area. Mishnah Beis focuses on the Birkas Kohanim that was done in the Beis HaMikdash. We'll talk about the Birkas Kohanim done outside of the Beis HaMikdash as well. And what we have now is that we had various avodas being done by different Kohanim, fundamentally two sets of Kohanim. We had some that were doing some avodas inside the Heichal and another group that was doing some avoda outside. So we'll talk about that in detail now, and then we'll get into the Mishnah. So we actually have five Kohanim who had tasks inside the Heichal. One was cleaning the menorah, one was cleaning off the internal Mizbeach Hazav, and we had three involved in the Ketores. So those are the five Kohanim. They actually came to get set up for the Birkas Kohanim first, as we'll see in our Mishnah. Then there was another group of Kohanim that were involved in bringing the limbs of the Korban Tamid to the top of the outer Mizbeach. We will talk about that in the next Mishnah, but it actually happened at this point before the Birkas Kohanim. So after all that happened, the five Kohanim doing their work in the Heichal, the other Kohanim bringing the limbs up to the top of the Mizbeach. Now we have the Kohanim gathering together for the Birkas Kohanim. Mishnah Beis says as follows, Ba'u, the Amdu, Al-Ma'ala, Sa'ulam, all these Kohanim, they came together congregating on the 12 steps in front of the Ulam. Amdu HaRishonim Lidrom Achayim HaKohanim, the first ones, that's talking about the five that finished their avoda in the Heichal first, they came on out, they stood on the southern side. The Chamisha Kelim Biadam, and each of them had a kli. So there are five, a total of five Kelim vessels in their hands. Hateni Biad Echad, the basket that was used to clean the ash of the Mizbeach HaPnimi, was in the hand of one of them, Ba'akuz Biad Echad, and the jug that was used to clean the ash and the wicks of the menorah was in the hand of a second one. Ba'amachta Biad Echad, another one, this is the third one. We're talking about now three of them that were involved in the Ketores. So the third of the five Kohanim that went in and had a voda, it had responsibilities inside the Heichal. Hamachta b'yadechad, he had the shovel that was in his hand, that's the one that carried the coal from the outer Mizbeach to the internal Mizbeach, so he had the shovel still in his hand. And another one, this is the fourth of the five coins, v'habazach b'yadechad, and one of them had the spoon, that's the coin that did the application of the Ketores, so he had the spoon that was holding the Ketores. And the fifth one, v'kaf v'kisuya b'yadechad, there was one who assisted the one pouring on the Ketores, so he had in his hand the ladle with its cover. Those are the five Kohanim. They still had their Kalim in their hands. They would put them down before they did the Birkas Kohanim. Uvarchu es ha'ambracha achas, and all these Kohanim coming together on the steps there, they would say one bracha. This is the Birkas Kohanim. Ela shebemedina ormi osa shalosh brachos. When it comes to the Birkas Kohanim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, there would actually be three brachas. They say the same sukkim in the Beis HaMikdash and outside. The difference is that outside of the Beis HaMikdash, each of the three psukim, the Birkas Kohanim, we say Amen afterward. Accordingly, it's considered three brachas, really three psukim, considered three brachas. Yivrech Hashem v'rech yivrish merech, and we say Amen. Yer Hashem panav elech v'yichunech, we say Amen, etc. So that's why outside of the Beis HaMikdash, we say Amen. It is three different psukim. It's called three different brachos of a mikdash bracha achas. In the Beis HaMikdash itself, Amen is not said. Accordingly, the three psukim are said back to back with no interruptions, and it's considered one bracha. And other differences between the Beis HaMikdash saying a Birkas Kohanim in the Beis HaMikdash and outside the Beis HaMikdash, but Mikdash Yomrim et Hashem Kichsavo, in the Beis HaMikdash, they would say when saying the Psukim in the Birkas Kohanim, they would say the Shem Hashem as it is written, Yud Hei and Vav Hei, Uve Medina Bekinuyav, and outside of the Beis HaMikdash, as we do always, we don't say Yud Hei and Vav Hei, how it is spelled, but we say Ad Nus, Aleph Dalet Nun Yud. That is how it was said in the Beis, outside the Beis HaMikdash. Even at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, they didn't use to say the real Shem Hashem Yud Hei and Vav Hei. The other difference is Bamidina HaKonim Nosim Es Kabeim, outside of the Beis HaMikdash, how would they do the Nesias Kabeim, lifting up their hands? They said the Birkas HaKohen lifting up their hands, but what height? Yadeim Keneged Kisveim, it was outside the Beis HaMikdash, the hands were held opposite. That means at the height of the shoulders, but not above the head. Uvemikdash al gabei roshem, in the base of mikdash, the hands were held above the head. That's because the shechina is shorah on the hands, out of kavod. The hands were lifted all the way up, because the shechina is on them above the head of the coin. The exception in the base of mikdash, we said all the coinim in the base of mikdash, they would lift their hands above their heads, but the exception, because of a technical reason, chutz mikoyin gadol she'ein magbias yadav lemalam min hatzitz, the kohen gadol did not lift his hands above his head because he was wearing the tzitz. The tzitz was one of the eight of the bigdei kahuna, one of the eight garments that the kohen gadol wore. It was a golden band on his forehead, and it had the name of God upon it, and accordingly, he did not lift his hands higher than that. Rabbi Yehuda disagrees on that point. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Af Kohen Gadol, Magbias Yado Lamala Min Hatzitz, even the Kohen Gadol, he indeed would lift his hands above the tzitz. Why? Because there's a pasuk that says to do that, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Shenemar, Vayisa Aaron Es Yadav Elam Vayivarchem, Aaron lifted up his hands towards the Am, towards Klal Yisrael, and gave him a bracha, talking about the Birkas Kohanim. Then Lelimud of Rabbi Yehuda, it says, El Ha'am, that he lifted up his hands towards the Am, which means that they were above him, pointing towards them. That's the Lelimud that he has, that even the Kohen Gadol in the Beis HaMikdash lifted in his hands above his head during the Birkas Kohanim. Mishnah Gimel is going to talk about the limbs of the Korban Tamid as they were brought up from the kevesh, brought up from the ramp, and put onto the Mizbeach. So in fact, as we spoke about earlier in the Masechta, there were various Kohanim that had responsibilities. They won the lottery, and they had different parts designated to them to take up the ramp and to burn on the Mizbeach. Having said that, our Mishnah is going to talk about it in a little bit of a different sense, in that the Kohen Gadol, whenever he desired, he could take on any of the avodas that he wanted to do, even if he didn't win the pious, he wasn't included in the lotteries, but he would be able to do the avoda he so desired. So we're going to talk about the Kohen Gadol, if he did exercise that option, and he'll be the one who is doing the various avodas of putting the limbs onto the Mizbeach, burning the limbs on the Mizbeach, and also doing the wine libation and the like. But that is only the case when the Kohen Gadol opted to do these avodas. Otherwise, it would be the various kohanim who had won the lottery. Mishnah Gimel says as follows: Bizman shekohen gadol rotzeh lahaktir. At a time that the kohen gadol wants to do the haktar, that's burning the limbs on the mizbeach, this is the process he would go through. Haya ole bakevesh vahaskan biyamino. He would go up the ramp, and the skan, that is the assistant, the person who would replace the Kohen Gadol, if the Kohen Gadol had a psul, so the skan would assist him. He would be on his right side to escort him up the ramp. Higila machatzitz hakevesh. When he got up halfway up the ramp, oftentimes the Kohen Gadol was elderly, and it's an exertion. The kevesh, the ramp, was quite long, and he would get tired. Accordingly, achas haskan b'yaminu v'ha'elahu, the skan would hold him on the right side with in his right arm, and he would walk him, escort him up, assisting him physically to get to the top of the ramp. And now we're going to go through the process. Hoshit lo harishon harosh v'arekel. Now the various kohanim who had won the responsibility to take the various limbs and put them from the ramp up onto the mizbeach, because the Kohen Gadol is now going to be putting it on the mizbeach, they would bring up their respective limbs and hand it to the Kohen Gadol as follows. Hoshi lo arishon. When it's the first one that is coming, he is bringing harosh v'aregel, the head of the animal, and also the right back leg. He would hand it directly to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol would do smicha, lean on it, on those pieces, v'samach aleihem, and he would zrakan, he would throw it onto the mizbeach. It actually had to be thrown. That's a drasha on a pasuk, just like the zrika is done to blood, so too the zrika is done to these limbs. And now we have Hoshit Hasheni, the second kohen, who would otherwise, if the kohen hadn't opted to do the avoda, the second one would have thrown his pieces, his limbs on directly. He's going to hand it now, not directly to the kohen gadol, but he's going to hand it to the first kohen who was there, the one that brought up the rosh v'aregel. So the second one is going to be his pieces. He's going to hand it to that first kohen, and then the second one is going to leave, but the first one is going to stay. And each time a kohen came up the ramp, he would hand his respective limbs to that first kohen. That first kohen would hand it to the kohen gadol, who would throw it, to smicha on it, lean on it, and throw it onto the mizbeach. Accordingly, Hoshira Sheni la Rishon Shtei Hayadayim, the second kohen, he would bring up the Shtei Hayadayim, those are the two front legs of the animal. He would hand it to that first kohen, Nosna the Kohen Gadol, he would hand it to the Kohen Gadol, Vesamach Aleihem Mizrakan, and the Kohen Gadol would do smicha on these parts and throw it onto the Mizbeach. And now Nishman Hasheni V'Halachlo, the second kohen would leave, but that first kohen that brought the rush and the rego would stay there. V'Kachayu Moshitin Lo Shar Kol HaEvarim, and this is the process they went through for the rest of the limbs, the Husomech Aleihem Vizrakan, and the kohen, when he received it, the responsible kohen brought it up, handed it to the first kohen who stayed there. First kohen handed it to the Kohen Gadol did smicha and threw it onto the Mizbeach. And if the Kohen Gadol decided he didn't want to do the throwing onto the Mizbeach, that takes a lot of effort, he could simply do the smicha on each of the limbs, but somebody else would throw the limbs onto the Mizbeach. Now, just a little bit background that it's not recorded in our Mishnah. There were two carts of the Korban Tamid, the fine flour and the chavitin loaves. The chavitin would be thrown on the fire at this time, even though it's not mentioned in the Mishnah. And all we have left to do is the wine libation. The wine libation was poured into a silver bowl on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. So now we're talking about Balo Lahakif at the Mizbeach. The kohen comes up the ramp and he's at the top of the ramp. And the question is, which way is he going to get in order to go to the southwest corner, which is on his left side? He can go directly there if he goes to the left, or if he's going to follow the principle of whenever you turn, when you're doing something of Kedusha, you go to the right, he's going to have to turn to the right and go all the way around the Mizbeach in order to get to the southwest corner. So Balo Lahakif at the Mizbeach, he's ready. Is he going to go to the left quickly? Is he going to go all the way around if he's going to go to the right? Neichanu Matchil, how does he start? Should he go to the left or should he go to the right? So he's actually going to turn to the right and go all the way around the Mizbeach. Mikaren Dromi Mizrachis, he's going to start southeast corner and he's going to go Mizrachis. Tzvoni, he's going to go to the northeast corner. Tzvoni Maravis, the northwest corner. And he's going to wind up at the end where he has to be on the Maravit Romis, the southwest corner. That is where there's that silver bowl in order to do the wine libation. Nasnu lo yain la nasech. They now hand him the wine. to do the nisuch, to do the libation, but he's not going to do it yet. We're going to set up a process here in order to alert the Levim, because the Levim are going to have to start singing the Shir Shel Yom right after the wine libation is done. In the next Mishnah, Mishnah Dala, we'll go through what are the various Shir Shel Yoms on each of the day. Haskan Omed Al HaKaren. So here we have the Skan standing next to the Kohen Gadol. Again, they are both on the southwest corner of the Mizbeach. The Skan is right next to the Kohen Gadol. And he has together with him Sudarim, which are like flags. And he had it in his hand, ready to go. And when the Kohen Gadol is ready to do the wine libation, he's going to wave those flags to alert people, especially the Levim, that it was time to start singing the Shir Shel Yom. Ushnei Kohanim Omdim Al Shulchan HaChalavim Ushtei Chatzos Rosh Al Ketzah Biyadim. In addition, it wasn't only going to be the Skan that was going to alert people by waving his flags, but there were another two Kohanim that would stand on the Shulchan HaChalavim. That was a marble table that was on the west side of the Mizbeach. And with them, with those two Kohanim, they had trumpets of kesef, of silver in their hands, ready to go. That would be the second alert. They would alert as well the Levim that it was time to sing. So we have two people, we have two sets of people alerting those Levim. We have the Skan, but he's going to be waving the flags. And also we have those two Kohanim standing down by the Shulchan HaChalavim, the table of fats where they used to put various parts of the animals on as the process in the of the Hakrava. Then they would be standing there in that location, ready to blow those Chatzotzros. Taku v'arevataku. And when it became the time, the Kohen Gadol is ready to do the wine libation. We have the signals go off. Wine libation is happening. They would blow a tkiah, trua, and a tkiah. So three blasts. Ba'u v'amdala yitzal ben Arza. After they blew right then, they would move over to stand next to ben Arza. Ben Arza is the Kohen who is responsible for sounding the cymbals in the base of Mikdash. Shechem yimino v'echad misuela. And one would stand on his right and one would stand on his left. Okay, now we're going to take a step back. And we're going to go, the Kohen Gadol is actually now going to do the wine libation. That was setting everything up. And now the Kohen Gadol is moving forward. Shacha lenasech. Now the Kohen Gadol is bowing down to do the nisuch hayayin. He's doing the wine libation. And right now the signals are going to go off. Veheini paskan besudarim. Now the skan would start shaking. He would start waving the flags. And now the blowings of the chatzotzros would happen. Vihigish ben Arza betzil tzal. And ben Arza would be playing the cymbals, the Dibru al-Levim, Bashir, and the Kohanim, and the Levim would start saying the Shir Shel Yom. So all that happened at basically consecutively, back-to-back, at the same time, wine libation, flags being shooken. We have the Tzkiah, Chua Tzkiah by the Chatzotzos. We have Ben Arza with the cymbals. We have the additional blows. We have all this going on accordingly. Let's continue in the Mishnah. V'dibra Levim Ashir. Now we have the Shir Shel Yom happening. How is the Shir Shel Yom shed? So it is actually each of the prokim of the Shir Shel Yom, one per day, was divided into three stanzas. And each of the stanzas was said, and after each of the stanzas, these two Kohanim would sound the Chatzotzros. They would say, sound Tkia Trua Tkia. So if we have three stanzas and three blows after each of them, Tkia Trua Tkia after each of them, the total of nine blows at that time. And in addition, when those Tkia Trua Tkia were happening, everyone, the Am in the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash would be Shmishtachav, they would prostrate themselves straight on the ground, prone on the ground, and that happened after each of the three stanzas three times as follows. Kigiu leperek, when they got to the end of a stanza, taku, that means that they blew tkiya chua, tkiya vihishtachavuam, and the am would be mishtachaveh, and that happened after each of the stanzas, al koperek tkiya, after each of the three stanzas, there was a tkiya, doesn't mean only one tkiya, means tkiya chua, tkiya, al kol tkiya, and every time that there was that tarat, tkiya chua, tkiya, there was also yishtachavaya, everyone would bow down, the am in the chatzar would bow down as well. Accordingly, we have three stanzas, we have after each of the stanzas, three blows, tkiah, 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 trua, tkiah, tkiah, trua, tkiah, and also we have histachavaya after each of the stanzas. We have nine blows total, three times bowing. Zehu, seder, hatami, lavodas, beis lokenu. This is the seder of the korban tami that was done in the beis hamikdash. And now we have a bracha, yiratzon, shiabane, bimehera, viameinu, amen. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it should be your will that you should rebuild the Beis HaMikdash quickly in our day. Mishnah Daled lists out the Shir Shalyom of each day of the week that was sung by the Levim at the time that the wine libation was offered on the Mizbeach at the end of the bringing of the Korban Tamid, as we just discussed in the prior Mishnah. So we're going to list out the various Shir Shalyoms, the songs of the day that were sung by Levim. This is going to sound very familiar to us. And each of them actually relates to something that was created on that day, so the days of creation. We'll just give an example of the first one. We won't go through it all in detail. Mishnah Dalet is as follows. Hashir Shayu Halavim Omim B'Mikdash. These are the daily songs that the Levim sang at the time of the wine libation. Number one, Bayom HaRishon Yomrim, Nashem HaAretz Umloa Teva V'Yosheva. What is the connection to this? It's talking about on the first day that HaKadosh Baruch Hu, He created the earth in its fullness and inhabited the land with those who live in it. So Lefishu Rishon, I'm reading the Bartanura here, Barishon Lashem Arz Umloa, Lefishu Rishon, the Masa Bereshis, is obviously a connection. It is the first day of creation. And then we'll just list them through the various other daily songs by Lelevim. Basheni Hayomi, the second day, Monday, Gadol Hashem Ulam Meobir, Elokeinu Harkadsha, Shlishi on Tuesday, Hayomi, Melokim Nitzabat Askel, Bekerv Elokim Ishbat, on Revi, that's Wednesday, Hayomrim Kelna Kumas Hashem, Kelna Kumas Afia. Chamishi, Thursday, Hayomrim Harnino Lekei Mozeno Arila Lekei Yaakov. Bashishi Hayomrim, sixth day, that is Erev Shabbos, Friday, Hashem Malaki Uslavesh Vechulei. And on Shabbos, they would say Mizmor Shir Liyama Shabbos. Now, interestingly, as we'll see in the balance of the Mishnah, this is not talking about Shabbos per se, but it's talking about something else. Mizmor Shir La'asi Lavo, it's actually a song for the future, L'yom Shekula Shabbos, a day or a time that will be totally Shabbos, totally rest, Menucha L'chai Olamim, it will be a rest for Kadosh Baruch Hu. What's going on? Fascinating. Let's look in the Bartanura. Menucha L'chai Olamim will be a rest for Kadosh Baruch Hu. Hai Tana of this Mishnah, Savra L'Kamanda Mashita Alfei Shanin, Havi Alma V'chad Charo, this Tana is of the view that the world that we live in will last for 6,000 years and then it will be destroyed. There will be another 1,000 years thereafterwards. So again, Shita Alfei Shanin Avi Alma V'Charcharov, it will be destroyed. This world will be destroyed and there's going to be a 7,000 years. Va'al Shem Shebe'elef Hashvi Lo Yakim HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the seventh, so we're here for six thousands, and the 7,000, it will only be a Kadosh Baruch Hu. As it says in Yashiyahu, V'niskav Hashem levado b'yom ahu, it will be left, a Kadosh Baruch Hu, will be elevated. L'chein ormin b'Shabbos, Mishmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, we are talking, when we say Mishmor Shili Yom HaShabbos, we're not talking about Shabbos, we're talking about the Shabbos, le'elef hashvi, it's talking about that seventh set of 1,000 years, Shiyomo Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Elef Shana, if that's a day for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is 1,000 years, and that is the time that HaKadosh Baruch Hu will have Menucha. In other words, there's not going to be nothing else but HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There won't be this world. Accordingly, that will be the Menucha L'Chai Olamim. That will be, that 7,000 will be a rest for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, who is the provider of all life to the worlds.